All right, would you turn your Bible with me, please, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This morning in Philippians chapter 2, would you read with me from verse 19? Philippians 2:19, Paul said, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may know, may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." The verses bring out the fact of Paul's concern for the Philippians, and which brings out another truth about the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Here's Paul in jail. Here's Paul been shut up for a long time and whatever, and yet all this time that he's in jail, he's concerned about these people over there. And he's concerned about their spiritual condition, which, of course, the application to the passage would be that our concern should be to the spiritual condition of other people in the body of Christ. And just as Paul ministered unto these people, we should minister unto other people. And just as Paul served, we should serve. And even though Paul said that if I serve men, I should not be the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is not to say that as serving the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not serve other people, because obviously we do. His concern is for them. The word state in the passage is brought out very clearly in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. He said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." And of course, it bears out the idea of a condition. In other words, whatever condition or position or place or whatever I'm in, I'm content. All right, he's saying then that I've sent Timothy unto you, or I will send Timothy unto you, as soon as I find out how it's going to go with me. I'm going to send Timothy unto you because that due to the fact that I have no man like-minded. Look in verse 21. "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." The word "all" in the passage clearly would not be everyone. Without exception. Of course, there are other people that cared for more than just their own. For instance, in 2 Timothy, notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 10, 2 Timothy 4:10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." All right, then Timothy, Demas cared for himself rather than others. Verse 11, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him," and so forth and so on. Well, Luke cared for others other than himself. So back in Philippians 2, verse 21, what he's saying, he's not saying that all without exception seek their own. There are some that are out to help other people. All in general, mankind in general, though, does what he does in view of what is going to be the return in it for me. In other words, he says, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? Well, he said that's not the case with Timothy at all. He said Timothy is like-minded with me, and of course the translators make a big deal about the word like-minded, but I don't see where there's any problem about the passage. You could say that it is like the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." Verse 20, "I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state," except Timothy, is what he's saying. In other words, the mind of Timothy was in, the mind of Christ was in Timothy. Timothy made himself of no reputation. He became a servant, humbled himself, and so forth and so on, and was willing to die for other people, as the case was with the Apostle Paul. All right, verse 21, "All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's." Well, those things which are Jesus Christ is expressed in 1 Corinthians. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." All right, then, those that have been redeemed belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So go back to verse 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and look in verse 16. "Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, there's a great truth involved in this, where we're concerned in this Bible class. All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's a little bit hard for us to become servants under those of another denomination. It's a little bit hard for us to serve people who brand themselves with different names. And yet all the redeemed, all the saved, Bible-believing people are in the one body of Christ, which is the temple of God, and they're Christ's. Therefore, we ought to be like-minded as Jesus Christ was. Let this mind be in you which was in Jesus Christ. He made himself of no reputation, and so forth and so on. And this is most fascinating to me. It is fascinating to me in view of the fact that we would be glad to have, there are certain preachers that we could very easily allow to come into our service here and preach and teach for that matter. And there would be a lot of truth that we could gain from some of these people, as Brother Pete Ruckman. There is no doubt about Brother Ruckman having truth that would be advantageous to us. In other words, we would be advantaged by accepting certain truth that Brother Ruckman has received from the Lord over the years. There's no doubt about that. Brother Ruckman's Old Testament books, the things in the Old Testament and so forth, he has a lot of material there. Brother Ruckman has a lot of material on the King James Bible that would be very advantageous to anybody that would read the books and accept the truths that he has accumulated there. Some he's received from other people and whatever. But my point is that Brother Ruckman would be of great advantage in many cases to us. And so we could accept his preaching and teaching along those lines, but he couldn't accept ours. In other words, what am I saying to you, that we are to be high and mighty and claim ourselves to be better than this man? Not at all. We are to let the mind of Christ be in us, and we are not to seek our own, but we are to seek the things that belong to others or to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we are to be of benefit unto other men. We are to try to help other people and build them up in the faith. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and notice verse 24. 1 Corinthians 10, 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. And that's not to say try to get every man's money. That is, seek to try to build him up in the faith. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Then we ought to be willing and ready to perfect the saints and edify the body of Christ. Therefore, it matters not if they're a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, or whatever name that they carry. We're not to allow that to make us hard-hearted and evil-minded against those people. We're to let the mind of Christ be in us and seek their wealth. That is, seek to build them up in the faith. Why? Because they have been bought with a price and they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, please, to 2 Timothy and notice Paul's attitude concerning this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. 2 Timothy 2:7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. And if we carry the gospel that Paul preached, if we carry it faithfully unto these people, we too will suffer trouble as evildoers. All right, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Well, then we ought to let the mind of Christ be in us and endure the scoffing and the laughing and the belittling of these people. I think about Brother Bill Sharp going over to Brother Ruckman's school over there. and called or somehow made arrangements, and they let him go. And the indication is that after Bill got through and Bill tried to show them what the middle wall of partition was, he tried to show them the middle wall of partition being broken down and the one body and things like that, and these people wanted no part with it. Well, and they probably laughed at him. They, in fact, I've had some later on, some reports come back that they belittled Brother Sharp. Well, whether they do or whether they don't is not going to change anything. The fact is that we're to let the mind of Christ be in us. He made himself of no reputation. In other words, he was laughed at and he was scorned by the people. Therefore, when we're laughed at and when we're scorned by the people, we're not to allow that to stop us and cause us to wilt and whatever and give up. We're to continue to try to get the Word of God, because these people belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're bought with a price, and we're to seek the things which are Jesus Christ, not our own. And therefore, if we allow these people laughing at us, if we allow their scorning of the truth and whatever that we preach, and them belittling in us and so forth, if we allow that to stop us, then it bears out the fact that we have been seeking our own. We've been seeking our own pleasure. We've been trying to make ourselves of reputation. If they laugh at us, we were not of reputation among them. In fact, we were belittled among them, and we let it stop us, and that's not right. That is not having the mind of Christ in you. All right, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 22, "But you know the proof of him," that is Timothy, "that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel." And I believe there are two applications to the passage. I believe a son with the Father there could very well be the Son of God with God the Father. In other words, just as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, served God the Father, Timothy, Paul's son in the faith, served with him as if Paul was his father in the faith. And this is hard to miss if you compare all the passages. Look back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Jesus Christ, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith." Well, if Timothy is his own son in the faith, then Timothy, he says later on, he said that he had begotten him in his bonds. He refers to Timothy, "whom I have begotten in my bonds." Look in, let's see here just a moment. It doesn't matter at the moment. All right, the whole thing in a nutshell is that that Timothy is the son of the Apostle Paul in the faith. Now go back to Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, and I know there are those that will disagree with me on what I'm going to say here, but I don't mind their disagreeing. Everybody's got a right to whatever he wants to believe. In Acts chapter 16, verse 1, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek." Well, then he was a disciple, and somebody said, well, he was a disciple of the Apostle Paul. There is no indication that he was a disciple of the Apostle Paul. He was a disciple of someone else before he was begotten by the Apostle Paul. And I don't see where there'd need to be any complications in the passage unless someone wanted to twist the thing around for his own selfish benefit. Timothy was a disciple. The implication is that he believed the doctrine that had been preached in Acts chapter 2. There are too many indisputable proofs that can be used that bear out the fact that the church of the body of Christ did not start in Acts 2 for me to even begin to preach that. And I can't help it if men like Dr. Ruckman close their eyes and harden their heart and stick their fingers in their ears and say, "I will not hear." That's not going to change anything. The fact is, there were those that were in Christ before the Apostle Paul ever got to them but not in the body of Christ. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 16, one of Dr. Ruckman's favorite passages. Romans chapter 16, verse 7. Romans 16, 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Well, of course, the passage is a controversial passage to start with, but Dr. Ruckman and his students at PBI use the passage to prove that there were those in Christ before Paul ever got there, which doesn't prove a thing in the world. I know that, but you can't prove it by this verse. For instance, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles. Well, who are the apostles? Say, well, they're the 12. Well, prove to me that it is. There's no way you can prove it's the 12. Well, I can show you that Barnabas was an apostle. I can show you that Timothy was an apostle. I can show you there are other apostles. Well, then maybe Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, were fellow prisoners of note among the apostles who had gotten saved through the ministry of Paul, as far as I know. But assuming that were not true, assuming that the word apostles in it refer to the 12, assuming that I could say, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the 12 apostles that were there during the ministry of Christ, who also were in Christ before me, then I haven't proved anything that would deny the mystery. I haven't proved the body of Christ started in Acts chapter 2. Why, being in Christ was no mystery. And yet the body of Christ is a mystery. Take Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis 22, verse 15, Genesis 22, 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. In, excuse me, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Well, the interpretation of the passage is in Galatians chapter 3. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, and notice verse 16. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. There is no doubt about it. There was a prophecy made that men were going to be in Christ, and that prophecy goes all the way back into Genesis. There is no mystery to that. Turn, please, to Ephesians, and look in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs unto the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Well, I'm very well aware of the fact that Dr. Ruckman takes the passage and says that the mystery was already there and was made known to the Apostle Paul, and Paul began to preach the mystery that was already there. But bless your soul, it is no mystery that man would be in Christ. For instance, if I come up here on the board and I say that this right here represents the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and I say that this square right here represents in Christ, and being in Christ was not a mystery. It is a prophecy from the Old Testament scriptures. In fact of the business, turn back to Acts chapter 13 and look in Acts chapter 13. Acts 13 Verse 44, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which are spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. When Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. And Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says to the Jew first and also to the Greek." All right, it was necessary the word of God should first have been spoken to you. "But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I will set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation of the ends of the earth." Go back to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. And I'm going to go on the basis of what Dr. Ruckman teaches. Dr. Ruckman teaches that the Bible means what it says, the King James Bible. All right, I'm going to accept the King James Bible for what it says. Well, what did it say? In Acts 13, verse 47, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth," which is a quotation from Isaiah 49, verse 6. Well, let's read from verse 5. "And now saith the Lord, that formed me," the Apostle Paul, "from the womb." Compare Galatians chapter 1. God who separated me from my mother's womb. No doubt about it. "The Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant." Paul was a servant of Jesus Christ. "To bring Jacob again to him." Paul's early ministry was to bring Jacob again to him. And anybody that believes the Bible knows by Romans chapter 11 that salvation came to the Gentiles through the ministry of Paul to provoke Israel to jealousy. During the Acts period, Paul is trying to get Israel saved. He's trying to bring Jacob again to the Lord. Therefore, the gospel of Christ was to the Jew first and also the Gentile. Anybody that believes their Bible knows that. Dr. Ruckman doesn't believe the Bible. He doesn't know that. "To bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength," as in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Check it out, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. "And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest," Paul, "should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also," starting in Acts chapter 28, we'll say, "I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." There ain't no doubt about it. There is no salvation for any man under the sun today except that which is expressed through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And you can reject it if you want to and just die and go to hell, but there is no other way. Jesus Christ gave the gospel of Christ to the Apostle Paul, and it is through the gospel of Christ given to the Apostle Paul that men are saved. Well, then Paul himself is prophesied to be a minister before he ever got saved. In fact, it is prophesied that the Apostle Paul would show light to the Gentiles before Paul ever got saved. Men were in Christ from Acts chapter 2, but they sure as this world were not in the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ is a mystery hid in God from the foundation of the world. What am I saying? I'm saying that there were those out there as Timothy. Timothy was a disciple. Timothy was a disciple that was in Christ, having believed the message from back there in the, from the Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever area. All right, Timothy, who is in Christ, heard the gospel of Christ preached through the Apostle Paul and is begotten by that gospel through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and when believing that, was placed in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit and identified with the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit and by his testimony. There is a difference being in the body and just being in Christ. All the saved back there were in Christ, but only those that believed the gospel through the Apostle Paul were placed in the body. How could a man be in the body of Christ? By believing the gospel that was presented through the Apostle Paul. Timothy was Paul's son in the faith, even though Timothy was a disciple before the Apostle Paul ever got to him. Now, back in Philippians chapter 2, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 22, "But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel." All right, then, I've got two sons shown there. The first son there, I'm going to put on this side over here, and that son will be, or I'll put the father. Over here will be God the Father. On this side, I'm going to put Paul, and he is the Father. All right. On this side, God the Father begot a son. That son begotten by God the Father is Jesus Christ. On this side over here, a father begot a son. And that son in this case is Timothy. Turn back with me, please, to 1 Corinthians. And look in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 4:14. "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Jesus Christ I have begotten you through the gospel." Verse 17. "This cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord." All right, on the one side over here then, Jesus Christ, begotten by the God the Father, preaches the gospel given him by God the Father and taught him by God the Father. On this side over here, Timothy preaches the gospel given him and preached by him through the Father. Look back in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7. In John 7, verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Go to John chapter 8 and look at verse 28. John 8:28. "Then said Jesus unto them, When you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Go to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, verse 49. John 12:49. "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me gave me a commandment that I should say, and what I should speak." Turn, please, and let's compare Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy and look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. "Unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith." Verse 3. "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2:1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." There can be no mistaking that. Turn back with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner." Now obviously he's talking about the testimony of Christ through the prisoner. "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." And just like Jesus Christ's ministry was planned by God the Father before the world began, Paul and Timothy's ministry was planned by God the Father before the world began, and anybody that doesn't see that, all they need to do is read Galatians chapter 1 and believe what they're reading compared with 2 Timothy chapter 1, where we're reading, there may be no mistake about it. Verse 9, who hath saved us? Paul and Timothy. And called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And Dr. Ruckman can hem-haw around about the passage and about nobody being there in Christ before the foundation of the world until he turns blue in the face, and it isn't going to change the passage. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and the choice had to do with God's purpose and grace given us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the foundation of the world. Verse 10, but is now made manifest, and by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. That is, when he appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts 26, verse 16, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. In other words, due to the fact that I'm appointed a preacher, apostle, and teacher of the Gentiles, having been given the gospel of Christ to give to them, I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that I've committed unto him against that day. Now, Timothy, here's your part. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition of science, falsely so called. There can be no mistake about it. Just as Jesus Christ is the begotten Son of God, Timothy is the begotten son of the Apostle Paul, faith-wise. And just as Jesus Christ was taught by God the Father, Timothy was taught by Paul. And just as Jesus Christ was sent forth by God the Father, Timothy is sent consistently by Paul. And make no mistake about it, for he said it over and over, I have sent him unto you. I have sent him. I have sent him. Over and over he said that. No mistake about that. And just as Timothy carried the message that he heard from Paul, Jesus carried the message that he heard from God the Father. And if you, Baptist preacher, Methodist, or whatever you are, I don't care what you are, if there happened to be one listening to this tape or watching this video, if you do not carry forth that message that was taught you through the Apostle Paul, you're a traitor unto him which is your father, for you have been begotten faith-wise through the gospel of the Apostle Paul, and just as the Corinthians were termed his sons, we are termed his sons in the faith, having been begotten through the gospel, and there is no mistake about that. And you're a traitor unto your father in the faith. Faith-wise, if you're saved. Of course, if all you believe is the gospel of the kingdom and whatever, then you're not saved in the first place, so just forget it. The first thing you need to do is recognize you're lost and come to the knowledge of the truth, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, which is the gospel committed through the Apostle Paul, and get saved. And then when you get saved, you will have been begotten by the gospel that was given through the Apostle Paul. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 22. But you know the proof of him, Timothy, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Have you served with him in the gospel? Why, you traitor, there are some of you that just as sure as you're listening to this tape or seeing this video, you give Peter the credit for that gospel that was preached through the Apostle Paul. You give Peter the credit for the members being in the body of Christ, and on and on. You're a traitor. You're a traitor to the Bible. You're a traitor to God. You're a traitor to the Apostle Paul. And you're a traitor to yourself. and there will be no rejoicing in your ministry for the Apostle Paul or the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, you will deny the Lord Jesus Christ the crown that would be rightfully His if you did what God told you to do through Paul. But then there are those of you that are born traitors in the first place. You do not commit adultery. You don't drink booze or wine or play dominoes or cards or go to the honky-tonks. You're a pious, self-righteous hypocrite that keeps your halo polished pretty and bright all the time, and you touch not and taste not and handle not, but you wouldn't dare do what God Almighty told you to do through the Apostle Paul, because you know if you did, you'd suffer for it, and you ain't about to suffer. You want all the glory you can get for yourself. You want the pats on your back. You want the praise. You want the praise of men, not the praise of God. You're not concerned for Jesus Christ. You're concerned for your own selfish self. You're a carnal, a selfish individual. If you were spiritual and had any spirituality at all about you, you'd know that what I'm saying is true. Philippians chapter 2, verse 23. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. That is, as soon as I see how the trial's going to go, I'm going to send him on. And there is some implication there. And I don't say that he's saying this, so don't tell somebody I did. It looks somewhat like he's saying, though, that if I see the trial's going to go bad, then I need him here with me. I hope that he'll stay here with me. But if I see the trial is going to come out right, and Paul does trust the trial is going to come out right, he's saying, I'm going to send him to you. Verse 24, but I trust in the Lord that I myself also shall come shortly. He believes he's going to win the case that's against him. Verse 25, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. And by the way, I might mention to you in passing that not only is Timothy referred to as the son of the Apostle Paul, he's referred to as his brother. Therefore, in our particular case, when we win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ by the preaching of the gospel of Christ unto them, we are unto them as having fathered them. We have begotten them by the gospel, in the faith, through the gospel. And they become our children, so to speak. And we're to be admired by them and looked up to by them as a son to a father in many respects, as in the case in the Bible. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. And this, of course, is not taught today and is not done by people. There are those today that I've won to the Lord Jesus Christ in the past, and their attitude toward me is that if you recall my name, they probably spit on the ground. And they have no respect for me, and you know other people that are that way. There's some of you that have gotten people saved. You preach the gospel to them. They've trusted the Lord through your ministry, and they have no respect for you now because they're denominational-minded people. You see what denominationalism does to people? It's of man. It's of the devil promoted by man. Well, Paul and Timothy were brothers in Christ. Well, those that I've gotten saved not only have been begotten by me through the gospel, but they're my brothers in Christ. We're related in Christ Jesus. Now, in verse 25, he says that Epaphroditus is his brother. He's his brother in Christ. One time there were some people came to Jesus and they said, your mother and your brothers are out here to see you. And he said, who is my mother and who is my brothers, my sister and so forth? Are not even ye that believe and so forth? Well, I can honestly say to you that there are those of you that are watching this video that I love far more and with greater love and have greater respect for than many of those who are my blood brothers and whatever in this world. And that's a fact. And there are those of you that are watching this video and listening to these tapes that you love me and have more respect for me than my own family has for me. I'm talking about my brothers and my sister and others and so forth. If I left you today, if something happened and God decided to take me out of the world today, it would be a greater loss to you. And you would probably suffer more over my loss than my blood brothers and sister and cousins and uncles and aunts and whatever down the line. My brothers and my sisters in Christ are those that believe the gospel of Christ, and I love them, and I hope that you love me. And in many cases we disagree. But I believe we could disagree agreeably if we had the opportunity to do so, and I'd be happy to give that opportunity. Brother, he's his brother, he's his companion. He has stood by me in times of trial. I can say there are those of you that you've been my companion, you stood by me. There are those of you that have defended me. And there are those of you that you may not have gone with me wherever I went physically, but you supplied the need for me to get there and in other ways. And there are those of you that would have gone with me, and you would have accompanied me there, and you would have helped me in any way you could. We've been companions. Companion in labor and fellow soldier. Stood together side by side down through the years. We've not always agreed about everything, but you have soldiered with me. You put on the armor of God with me, and you've stood by me, and you took the sword of the Spirit and the shield of the faith, and you've stood with me and right by me and fought the fight of faith right alongside me and defended me as I have tried to defend you. And there have been those today that there's been gossip about that I have tried to defend. I have wanted to defend. And I've stood up for. And I know there have been gossip about me, and there are those that of you that have stood by me and defended me with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and on and on. But there's others who are my brothers or sisters in Christ that have claimed to be my companion and fellow soldier, that have not stood by me. They not only have not defended me, they put me down real bad pertaining to things they knew absolutely nothing about, but because of jealousy and just downright hateful meanness, have put me down. And there have been those that have come to me with stories about other people putting them down because I knew they were just plain mean and ornery and jealous of the individual they were trying to put down. Paul said, Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger. That is, he was a messenger for that church there. He that ministered to my wants, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that you'd heard that he'd been sick. Now my time is out for today, and I'm going to have to stop in the middle of everything here. So I'm going to stop here and take up back in verse 26 again next week, Lord willing. Right now, let's take a break.